Our Heavenly Father, as we look at Psalm 46 now, we pray that we would hear your voice speaking to us as our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. May you be that to us this morning and every day. Amen. Okay, so you know the right answer to this question. You know the right answer. You know what you ought to say. But I'm interested in what you really know, what you really experience day by day. What is the reality of your day-to-day experience? So here's the question. Who is God? Who is God to you? You see, I told you you'd know the right answer. But the question is, who is he really in your life? So let's just pause for a minute and roll this question around a little bit. How about this? What do you say to God? How do you talk to him? Because that will reveal an awful lot about how you think of him. Perhaps you talk to him, perhaps your prayer really is a list of requests. And if you don't get what you want in life, well, you kind of stamp your foot and get a bit uppity with God and maybe go off in a bit of a huff. If that's your prayer life, if that's what you've experienced, then I guess God is kind of your rich father who ought to give you whatever you want. You're a bit of a spoiled brat of a doting father. I exaggerate, of course. Or what if you only talk to God when you really need something? When something important's happening, or when you're in real trouble? Then I guess he's more like, what, a kindly grandparent. And if your prayers are more like wishes, you know, like coins tossed into the wishing well or the lake at Wisley, as I noticed people were doing the other week, then perhaps you think of God as a universal force or some sort of cosmic power who might sort of help you out in some way. Do you see how you talk to God reveals what you think about God? So how do you talk to God? And what does that say about your relationship with him? Okay, another question. Where is God? Where is God in the busyness or stress of life? Or in the loneliness and anxiety of life? On any given day, on any given moment in the day, where is God to you? Is he basically out of mind? You're too busy, you forget about him. Or perhaps he's the one that's too busy to think about you. He's so concerned with everything else that how could he possibly bother with you? Or as someone said to me just last week, he is there, close by. Helping, supporting, encouraging when you're weak and you don't know how you'll get through the day. Who is God to you? Where is God to you? God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble, says Psalm 46. So God is what? Well, a place of security and safety, a refuge. Think what? Buckingham Palace with its high walls and gates and its armed guards. Or maybe think of a place of recuperation and relaxation, of a retreat in the country or a luxury spa. Or maybe a source of help when I need something, when I'm in a mess and nothing's going right. Yes, God is our refuge, our strength, our help. But you know, I think we've missed something. We've missed something personal. We've missed something really vital here because, you see, it is God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. It's him and you, you and him. You yourself are threatened, weak, in trouble. He himself is your refuge, your strength, your ever-present help. You see, it's not that God provides you with somewhere to go as a place of shelter and protection and help, but that he himself is your shelter, your protection and help. And where is he? Well, he's near, always near, right here, right now, an ever-present help in trouble. God is here, present tense, now and always with us, even in trouble. Sometimes we can think, can't we, that if we're in trouble, if life's a mess, that God is far away. No, no, no. God is our ever-present help in trouble. He is present when we suffer, when we're distressed, when we're bereaved, when we're in pain. And here in the psalm, you see, he's not promising just to take the pain and suffering away, but he's close by in the midst of the troubles. You may remember when in John's Gospel, the disciples were in fear of life, in fear of being bereaved as Jesus heads towards the cross. And Jesus says to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He does not say, "I will point you to the way, I will teach you the truth, and I'll give you life." Instead, he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." So it's all about personal engagement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the pandemic, these last, 17, 18 months, we've turned to one another for help, haven't we? Maybe for shopping if we've been isolating, or perhaps the old classic, the cup of sugar. Does anybody ever ask for a cup of sugar these days? I don't know. Anyway, we've tried to strengthen and encourage one another, haven't we, via text and email, by phone calls. We've met via Zoom. Breakout rooms were an attempt to bring us a bit closer together, but you know what? There is nothing like being there in person. Nothing like being there in person, is there? It doesn't necessarily even need to be a big hug, but just a knowing smile, an eye-to-eye contact, that personal engagement, noticing facial expression, noticing posture, noticing, well, just being there. That was especially true for me. I went back to Halliwell the other month. I hadn't been there for 16 months, and to see some of those folk after such a long time, it was really quite emotional to make that connection again with them. And that's what we're saying here. You see, it's about this personal connection with God, not keeping him at arm's length on Zoom, but allowing him close, coming close. It's great, isn't it, to have friends who will support us and give us what we need, but we're not really friends unless we enjoy that personal connection with them, where we reveal ourselves to them and are open to them revealing themselves to us. It's that companionship, that fellowship that brings joy and meaning and hope and life. And if that's true for us in our horizontal relationships, how much more is it true in our relationship with God? He invites us into that personal connection and bond with Christ. He is our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. And we just need to explore this a bit more, don't we? He is present in our sufferings and troubles. There is a certain strand of Christianity that thinks that God will take all of our troubles and our sicknesses away from us here and now in this life. He will not. Can I make it any more plain than that? If he did, then the people in those churches would be living to 150 years old, wouldn't they? 200 years old. No, we all get sick. We will all die. We will all face troubles, and God is there in them with us. That is his promise, to be present in our troubles. And that does make a difference. It makes a huge difference, because verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Because he is with us, we will not fear. What are your troubles today? Perhaps they're really quite small and irritating. On the other hand, they may be utterly overwhelming. Perhaps it seems to you as if the whole world has given way, that the impossible has become real, the mountains have fallen into the heart of the sea, the whole of life is in turmoil, the waters of life, of death, are foaming and roaring around you, threatening to swamp the things that you thought were most secure. Perhaps it feels as though the mountains are quaking at the roaring, foaming, surging seas. Well, how do we cope? How do we cope when that happens? Because it does happen. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And perhaps our greatest fear is that we will be left alone. But when trouble comes, we do often, so often, try and cope alone, don't we? When trouble comes, we kind of shut ourselves down. We kind of keep other people at arm's length. We might even keep God at arm's length and say, I can cope, I can deal with this. But God says, let me in. I am here anyway. And if we close our hearts to him, he is still there. And when we welcome him, if we welcome him, he calms our fears. And if you don't believe it, talk to other people here at church who have gone through those kinds of troubles and have experienced the Lord Jesus walking with them day and night. And so in verse 4, a different kind of water appears, not the roaring, foaming sea, but a river and streams. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. It's a great picture, isn't it? Lovely picture. A river winding its way around the city, its streams of water, not foaming and angry, but life-sustaining and refreshing for the weary. And this city, it's the dwelling place of God himself. It is his home where he is ever present. And if he is ever present, the city cannot fail. He will always come to her aid. But of course, the psalm was back then, before Jesus came. A shadow, a mere shadow, a hint of what was to come. This is now. And do you remember what we heard Jesus say a few weeks ago? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You, me, us, together. We are the dwelling place of God. We are the city of God. We are his people, his church, and he dwells within us, among us, by his Spirit. And he will never leave us or forsake us. He is, by his Spirit, the river flowing in us, through us, around us. And he makes us the people of gladness because we know that the city, the church, will not fail. God will help her at break of day whenever she needs his help. And so, verse 7 and again in verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us in person. the God of Jacob, the God of all his people, is our fortress. And then verse 8, come, come, see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Come and see. Open your eyes, look around, open your Bible particularly. See how God brought desolation on Egypt, on Babylon, on Assyria, on Canaan, and so on. Do not doubt his ability, his power to bring desolation through judgment. As Paul said to the skeptical people in Athens, God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance by raising him from the dead. Earlier on this week, you, like I, may have listened to some of the debate about Afghanistan in Parliament, and then some of the interviews with opposition MPs on the radio. The opposition MPs kept asking, what is the government going to do about the Taliban? And of course, the real answer is, they, nor you, if you were in power, can do anything. Have we not learned anything from history? No, we have one true hope, and only one, that Jesus Christ will keep his promises, that he will return and bring an end to all wars, breaking the AK-47s, shattering the rocket launching grenades, burning the fighter jets with fire. And until then, until that great and glorious day, there will be times when it seems as if the earth is giving way and the mountains are falling into the heart of the sea. There will be times when it seems as if our own lives are tossed about by a roaring, foaming sea. And the Lord says, be still. Be still. Stop. Be quiet. Be still. And know that I am God. Do you see? This is not as sometimes we sort of heard it. Be still, because I am God. It's not that at all. It's be still. Stop your fretting. Stop running around like you were God. I am the Lord. I am God, says God. Know that in your own life and in your own heart. Stop trying to sort everything out yourself. You can't. Stop trying to control everything. You are not God. I am, he says. And I am in control. Open your eyes. Look and see. Not you, not governments, not even Satan himself is in control. I am God and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Do you see what God is saying here? I will send my son to judge the world and I will take you to be with me where I am. And you will live with me in my city where the river of life flows from my throne down the middle of the great street of the city. And you will be like trees that are fruitful all year round, and the nations will be healed. People of all colors and nationalities will live together in peace. And you will see my face, and you will serve me. There will be no long dark nights of fear, but I will be your light and you will see me clearly. And you will reign as I created you to reign in peace and loving righteousness. These words are trustworthy and true. So, Lord God Almighty, Lord Most High, our Father in heaven, you are our refuge and strength. You are our ever-present help in trouble. So we stop. We stop and are still before your majesty. And we say, you are God, our God. Help us to wait in faith and obedience for the return of your Son, our Lord Jesus, knowing that you are with us. You are our fortress. And we thank you and praise you for that and come to you in our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen.